evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Very wonderfully, Manon. Physically perfected. Thank you.
Very nice.
I have a question statement to make here. I forgot to turn that on, so I'm going to put the date on it.
Okay.
Yours was not turned on for recording.
Correct.
Okay, so this is session number 41, recorded on May 24, 2009, starting at 3:49 p.m. Hawaii time. And it's a session with Bob and Carol. We just putting that on. The Ion is already here. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes, hello, Ion. We're all quite wrapped in our technology. We're recording you on a computer and a little digital device, so all of your amazing words will be captured.
Marvelous.
Okay, I'd like to start with our continuation, actually, of our Medicine with Ion series. So the first condition that we have in the alphabetical readings that we're doing is canker sores. And those are, some people think they're a herpes, cold sore, but I'm talking about the little kind of like ulcerations in the mouth that can occur with, yes.
That actually happens in the small intestine in the stomach. Because, as you know, they're all connected. Mm-hmm. When the acidic values become overwhelming, or some condition causes the stomach to create more stomach acid,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that causes a breakdown in the inside dermis of the tissue inside the mouth. And it would not be herpes simplex at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an aggravation or irritation from the what you call a spit glands under the tongue.
Mm.
That's what that flows from that flow back of the saliva, the secretion of saliva.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can get those under the tongue
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a very, it seems like a tender inside part, but it's actually doesn't have a tremendous amount of nerve endings.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually ulcerates before you actually notice any necessary thing.
Okay.
And that disconnection is that balance of the flora and the fauna from the small intestine.
Yes, yes.
So that disconnection would come and show up. If something is cankered.
Uh-huh.
So many times in your life, if you find something that's got your stomach in a knot,
mm-hmm.
it can cause that as a symptomatic resolution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It lets you know.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes if you really want to have some fun, that can wrap itself all the way back into your burning in the belly.
Ah. Tell me about that.
It can show up that same way. Remember, we discussed the feeling or emotion of the burning in the belly. That also sometimes can increase that acid and change that pH, which from how it reacts with the small intestine,
mm-hmm.
then can bring those on as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a symptomatic problem. Now, for a solution, a naturopathic way to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
if you could come into a kosher dill pickle,
mm-hmm.
And could have garlic or not, but just a cold kosher dill pickle,
mm-hmm.
and what you call the phosphorus in Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah.
Easy drink.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy way if that comes on. The vinegar or the vinegar acidic level of it would be in the pickle that pickled the pickle,
mm-hmm.
and the phosphorus in the soda pop
mm-hmm.
would balance that most times. It's also really good for what you call heartburn or indigestion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So, then what it sounds like where you think that the canker is too much acid, it's actually too much alkaline and you need an acid to balance it out. Is that true?
Correct. And that only shows up when you have that disconnect between the stomach and the small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
Many people find that they have those more when they're having what diverticulitis,
uh-huh.
and gallbladder attacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's another causal show-up symptom situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, that sounds good. The next condition is carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yes, it's a disconnection of too much wrist action of the flow in a, it never showed up before. There was no such thing.
Yes.
Secretaries have been typing on typewriters for many, 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 many years. It never showed up.
Uh-huh.
The constant lazy way of handling your computer. You lay into the computer boards rather mm-hmm. than having to sit upright and sit straight and type
mm-hmm.
because you're actually lifting and it builds the carpal muscles
mm-hmm.
tunnel becomes that lazy way of on it all the time
mm-hmm.
and that your resistance to being on your keyboard all the time is what allows carpal tunnel to give you an exit strategy so
mm-hmm.
now you no longer have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You cause it in yourself, so you don't have to be on your computer.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's pretty straightforward. Anything else there before we go on?
Yes, sometimes those disconnections, they actually do take a chainsaw and do surgery on those.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people have, one will do great and the other will not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to yourself long enough, what you'll find is that situations within your life can show up on that same type of, let's say you have a situation in your life.
Yeah.
And you're on the computer all the time. And you all of a sudden start having this wrenching pain in your wrist all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then other things are going on in your life. And you tell the story, well, I'm looking at this situation and on one hand, now, this is an answer or a solution. And then on the other hand,
uh-huh.
maybe this is a direction or a solution. They'll do the surgery, and one hand will do perfectly marvelous, and it's all done and straight. But on the other hand, it's still painful, and I don't want to deal with it.
Wow. Very good. Yeah, that's nice. And the other hand won't do well. Very good. Okay, then we move on to cataracts.
Yes, cataracts are a scaly, smoky, retinal cloud.
Yes.
Cloudiness on the lens.
Mm-hmm.
A smoky windshield.
Mm.
Right? As you understand, as the eyes dilate, it opens and closes, and the pitting of the optic lens
mm-hmm.
that has the effect of repairing itself, and as it repairs itself, it sometimes increases the pressure in the back of the eye,
mm-hmm.
and that's what causes it to basically heal over rather than clear itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then they remove them. But if you heard the pressure in the back of the eye,
mm-hmm.
sometimes also can lead into your glaucoma.
Yeah.
But from typically they come from that pressure back, pressure from behind.
I see.
Everything's okay from the front, but you have pressure from behind.
Yeah.
So your body naturally heals itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you leave scars, it
mm-hmm.
makes that cloudy. So if you don't clear it,
mm-hmm.
Let's say you want to clear your counter, and rather than clean up the stuff that's on it, you just put something on the top of it to wipe it up.
Mm-hmm.
You really haven't, it would be like, here's a way to describe it. People that are cleaning their kitchen, they sweep it and then they mop it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mop it and then sweep it.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Cataracts are when you try to mop it and then sweep it.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually wets it and makes it stick and then causes that scar.
Mm.
Basically, it's just a scar tissue. Now, many times what that comes from is I don't care to see what my eyes are observing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the emotional disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you deal with that, okay. okay, fine, but then you can go all the way into macular degeneration,
mm-hmm.
which is a whole nother process that comes from, I really am not, I'm going to have a tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take all the periphery out of my life
mm-hmm.
and come into that place. Now, those are three different tactile aspects
mm-hmm.
of what you call sight. But everything has to do is based upon the healing and clearing and the balancing of pressure
yeah.
and looking for the joy that you look at, that you see.
Uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. For the joy. Got it. Very nice. Chronic fatigue syndrome is the next question I'd like to ask about, or the next condition.
Well, this is one of the first ones that they made up a name to match the lack of ease.
Ah, yeah.
It's I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to take action regarding it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you disconnect from just saying not only no, but hell no,
mm-hmm.
and you feel that you're pressured that you have to, then you can catch that lack of ease and let it show up in your physical body that you just can't quite get out of bed.
Yeah.
And then any action that you take, you'll take it and it'll be okay. And then 30 minutes later, you just have to lay down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's that disconnection. If you make an excuse rather than take your power,
uh-huh.
the excuse will manifest itself in a format where you really can't function and get out of bed.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
It has a causal effect on the spleen,
yeah.
and it has a causal effect on the pancreas,
mm-hmm.
and the adrenal glands that activate adrenaline to get you revved up and going,
mm-hmm.
it actually depletes, now that's not the right word, decreases the production of adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's how you get over that. Capsicum.
Mm-hmm.
Hot pepper.
Yeah.
You take cayenne capsules if you can't stand the hot.
Yeah.
Take cayenne capsules.
Okay.
Niacin will also flush you out, too.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not talking about the non-flushing niacin. We're talking about the kind that really turn you red and
mm-hmm.
get you through the heebie-jeebies.
And how that does that, help. What does that do for the condition, or are you talking about it doing something for the adrenals?
Well, it kickstarts your chronic fatigue ease.
Mm-hmm.
You see, once you get yourself into that place where you had an excuse and you use that excuse to have a disconnection with why you can't function,
mm-hmm.
and then you get tired of that because you're like, wait, I just didn't want to go to that. I didn't want it to stop me functioning totally.
Yeah.
Then you can come into your power, eliminate the thing that's making you have disconnection.
Uh-huh.
And then do the thing that lets you go play with your kids or grandkids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And no living that pepper, the count of the capsicum, probably about 32,000. There's a registry.
Yes, I know.
For
that. Yeah.
The
BTUs the BTUs of capsicum, right?
Yes, but it's actually begins with an S.
Some Scots guy. I just read about it.
Scholes.
Schofield or something, yeah.
Scholes.
Okay.
Scholes,
yeah.
If you get above 32,000, then you're going to get there. And then you'll find, however, that it takes more and more and more and more and more to do that.
Oh.
Once you get to what you call the habanero or scotch bonnet,
uh-huh.
there's approximately 300,000.
Oh, that's right.
You certainly do not want to start there.
Yes, yeah.
You want to start with a little.
Mm-hmm.
Cayenne is very good, and if you don't like the pepper and it doesn't serve your suit you well, you can buy or even capsule, put it in
mm-hmm.
capsules yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess would be 5 grains of cayenne pepper.
Okay.
That's a lot, don't you see?
Mm-hmm. I'd have to look that up. I mean,
it is.
Yeah, okay, good.
But so it basically like a pretty good capsule of it. But mm-hmm. if you could find a way to ingest it naturally in your food.
Oh, yes.
Even if you did it in smaller, like a shake, mm-hmm. Out of a dispenser, just like a shake.
Uh-huh.
Do a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. You'll find you'll build a tolerance that actually is the best way so you can be in control of the effect. But if you take a capsule, it could, you know, sort of jumpstart you a little bit.
Okay.
Now, let me say it another way. When you go through the whole bowel, you may find a little contrast to the actual rectum itself.
Yes.
In the beginning of days.
Got it.
So, and how you balance that is with ginger. There's ginger.
Oh.
Mhm. If you can stand it, you could make it just eat some raw ginger, but that seems a little strong for most folks because it's actually kind of hot.
Mhm.
But, or make a good ginger ale. That's mm-hmm. always good. Mm-hmm. Or with some fresh ginger, and you'll become pretty normal. And it basically balances, that's all. It's just a balance.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, great. So with chronic fatigue, I think we have a good take on that. Now, in my encyclopedia, I have cold extremities. It's not a condition, but can you go into that symptom?
Sure, you catch a cold. Well, the only way you're able to catch a cold is to chase it.
Wait
a minute now.
Cold extremities. It's just a symptom. I'll come to colds and flus in a minute.
Oh, you're talking about having hands that are cold and feet that are cold.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's just your disconnection of controlling your circulation.
Mm-hmm.
You're not circulating enough.
Hmm.
Circulation.
Okay.
And that is controlled also through the hypothalamus.
Uh-huh.
But some people, as they age, sometimes their blood thins a bit. They mm-hmm. find themselves easily chilled.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the core. What you're talking about is like somebody has cold hands, so they must have a warm heart.
Yeah, but I agree with what you're saying, the aging and, you know, maybe thyroid or just low adrenals, all those things seem to cause some people to feel chilly.
And that's what they pump all this postal chondroitin regarding to help with their joints and synovial glands.
Yes, you know, yeah.
And also sets in that way. So
right.
if you can increase that flow, that's why a lot of folks as they're aging enjoy Florida.
Yeah.
That type of climate.
Mm-hmm.
Just because in Arizona, if they have the COPD side, mm-hmm. it becomes a warmer, drier, less wet humidity, less
mm-hmm.
cold,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of compensates for that. Or it's a really great excuse to have to leave a cold, bitter
mm-hmm.
northern state and feel forced to move to Florida where you can enjoy life.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're using it as your excuse, it's a good excuse to go play with fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get to...
Was that too glib?
Well, it's not really a condition that, you know, I'm thinking of thyroid and everything, but we'll absolutely get to thyroid,
right,
and then we'll go into
okay,
that.
But, okay, let's here's how we, there's another solution. You ready?
Yes.
Corn whiskey.
What kind of whiskey?
Corn.
Corn whiskey, oh yeah.
You take one shot of corn whiskey at night before you go to bed,
uh-huh.
and in the morning when you start.
Uh-huh.
And that alcohol content,
uh-huh.
we're not talking about a fifth of liquor, we're talking about a shot.
Yeah.
Less than an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
You see, of corn whiskey. Not necessarily bourbons, but just a white corn liquor.
Mm-hmm.
The alcohol sometimes will increase. First of all, it thins blood just a little bit. Because you have content in your bloodstream.
Yeah.
So that alcohol then makes your body pump a little more blood in increasing your constriction of blood flow and increases circulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same premise that your H2 inhibitors work. Your proteins.
Hmm.
H2 inhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a simple, easy way to do that.
For the drinkers among us.
No, this is if you're cold. If you're cold and your hands are cold and you're having this problem, I mean, it becomes symptomatic enough that it actually affects your life.
Mm-hmm.
A simple, easy way to do that is a shot of corn liquor. If it's really bad, do one in the morning, one in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's okay, just do one in the evening. Just one.
Mm-hmm.
That increases that, because some people just get all this cover and they can't get warm. And,
yeah.
You know, it's very dramatic. But if you can do it that way, it'll increase the blood flow and the restriction, because, you know, if blood's not flowing, then you have all kinds of arterial issues after a little while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, you can go all the way into AFib if you're not careful.
Right.
And that'll affect your circulation.
Okay, that's good. Colds and flus. Now, I don't know if you want to do them separately, colds and...
They are separate.
Yeah.
A cold, the only way you catch a cold is to chase it.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Any type of rhinovirus that comes into your interplay,
mm-hmm.
you have to be a breeding ground. This will also take care of your yeast. Ooh, sorry. this will also take care of your yeast issues as well. But short version is, you set yourself up to be a making the rhinovirus a guest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what happens, and that's why it's so catching. Because
mm-hmm.
you chase.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to call that the humane system.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be better known as, rather than an immune disorder, maybe it's a humane orchestration.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you balance that now, sometimes you can have a little bit of that anytime you're out of balance.
Yeah.
That becomes a way to slow yourself down. If you're just manic and you have to get it all done and on, and you're just running.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes simple catching or chasing or achieving a growing rhinovirus,
mm-hmm.
then you have an excuse to take a day off and it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're guilty for just taking a day for yourself,
mm-hmm.
those are the ones that will chase a cold, which
mm-hmm.
is a miserable way to get a day off, but your body will rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only reason orange juice and folic acid is good for that process is because your mother said that's what you're supposed to do if you had the sniffles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about folic acid for a cold. Now, do you want to do influenza?
Yeah.
Or what about, so the disconnect is someone just setting themselves up for it for whatever reason in their world. So, yeah, that's
they chase it. They
yeah.
kind of chase it.
Now I got that. Okay, that's good. And influenza?
Influenza is a whole different, that's a mass consciousness created influenza.
Mm.
That has to come from the mass consciousness
mm-hmm.
because the flu has a different causal reaction. You end up with achy, fevery,
mm-hmm.
and not really so much the cold, but that heat, the excess heat to kill this virus
mm-hmm.
sometimes cause you can have other type of flu or what you call a bug. You can have something in your GI tract that will tear you up worse than a flu.
Mm-hmm.
You can even get so dehydrated. And that all has to do with hydration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the worse the sickness creates the influenza bug, the more difficult, nobody dies from the flu except from dehydration.
Wow.
The only way that you expire. And it's your body eating, overheating, getting rid of it, overcompensating for it. Rather, and that's why even with the little kids, they were going with the acetaminophen, and it was killing them because it was allowing them to overheat even more. It was overcoming in the amount that it would take. That's why the little ones, they don't do the Tylenol, because it's very dangerous. That's what that influenza, you see, it's just trying to work its way out. If you mask it, it actually makes it more concentrated or stronger. It doubles the humane, system capacity to clear it.
Just wondering, how do kids pick up on the mass consciousness of a flu?
They come from source energy sooner, so they're much more easy to adapt into that process.
Okay.
You see?
So they hear something, or someone's worried about it, or they just pick up on it?
You can't go out and play in the rain, you'll die of the pneumonia.
Okay.
You can't get out there and play in that mud, there's bugs in there. You can't go there. You can't go to the hospital with me to see Granny who's dying because there's sick people there. Your little system can't take that.
You're right.
Where are your mittens?
Got it. Perfect.
And they just say, okay, I didn't have my mittens, so therefore I've messed it up, so therefore I'd hope for so much more.
Very good. Now, you were going to say something, and I interrupted you.
It matters not.
Okay, well, that's very good, very good. And now we come to the cold sores, which is more the herpes virus.
Well, now I don't know so much about that.
Cold sores.
Do you want it from the herpes simplex virus, or what do you, or not?
Yes, we can do it from the herpes simplex virus, and then you can do the non-herpes simplex virus.
Okay. Okay. That is your body reacting, having a causal reaction from a herpes-based interaction. That makes sense.
Yeah, you connect with a herpes virus and you react to it.
Well, and it can become into your place of beingness pretty significantly. They're actually very significant because that's something that once you have it, you always have it.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's because it makes space to be. Now, you have different things and overcome it. Your Valtrex, some of your other things come in prescriptions that mimic that reality a little easier. That is okay. But the ticket is not anything other. The ticket is not anything other than your ability or capacity to flow. Well, and I'm trying to do this as gently as I can. Okay, you can edit this. So good luck with this.
Yeah.
You can run around here, and they can tell you that if you're not careful, you'll get the whore mouth.
Yeah.
Well, then that comes in and picks up and becomes a potential reality.
Yes.
Doesn't have to. And then if all of a sudden love becomes just something that's an interaction that you actually enjoy and come into your sexual beingness as a person, then all of a sudden you don't have to be bothered with that process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you can definitely get it both ways.
Okay. And sometimes even though if it's the way the birth is done, baby can be born with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's unusual. But sometimes they can double hit it with the autoimmune drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Their first, we keep calling it pheromone, but it's not that. It's the F drug that has to do with those the way that those cells are done.
Oh, the something flora your cell or something.
Yeah, that is exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens with that is it boosts the immune system, which is already vibrant in the baby anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, the colostrum in the milk would actually take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got it from the mama who's eat up with the outbreak,
mm-hmm.
the colostrum, which would be so healthy, would just actually make more of it. It would, it would not be effective.
Yeah.
Okay. So a little dose of that can take care of it. And then old people can sometimes pick this up because there's other kinds rather than just whore mouth.
Yeah, you can get it in the elderly get it in the eyes. They actually get the eye.
The conjunctivitis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they also can get it from the breakdown of just how their system is metabolizing.
Mm-hmm.
That changes, you see, as you have different stages of life.
Right. Now, did we say what the disconnect is with this, or have you been kind of getting there a bit?
Been trying to get there a bit. It's the basically the creation of all those venereal. Isn't that interesting? Venereal diseases,
mm-hmm.
all of that would be lumped in together. The rules and regulations that are instilled upon you
mm-hmm.
caused you to line up with those protractions or not. Same thing with your HIV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're reacting to rules and regulations, or you're being guilty about rules and regulations?
Well, okay. Let's do it a different way. You get told you can't do this because you'll get the clap or the crabs or the whatever venereal things, herpes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you choose to overcome those rules and say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mature and grow and you're enjoying the promiscuity of sleeping around,
mm-hmm.
you will not allow yourself to overcome your rules and regulations.
Yeah.
So if you break your own rules and regulations, then that's what befalls you as an outcome.
Oh, I see, yeah. Because mm-hmm.
you won't let yourself overtake your own rules because you're the master creator.
Yeah.
But then there are people who have that herpes all their life, and never have outbreaks and never have problems, and they have it the same way when you have chicken pox. There's no difference in chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
But then in older life, as you age, then that shows up as shingles.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing, but you can live with it very cohabitantly all your life. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Very good.
See why we had to stretch a little ways to get there? Because it actually lumped in a whole bunch of stuff.
It
applied just as much to that as it did to the
mm-hmm.
HIV or to the anything else.
Okay, then there's the colic in babies.
Colic, okay. That is the beginnings of digestion. Colic always, every single time, without fail or exception, comes from a mother's innate capacity to require more time with their babies.
Mm-hmm.
The babies react because they don't care. The babies react so mama gives her undivided attention to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You get a colicky baby, and guess what? You're going to give attention whether you want to or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here's how you work with that. First of all, you got to control or figure out the balance of the sleep time, living time, playing time, eating time. Get on a pretty decent schedule. Mm-hmm. And if you will lay the baby, the colicky baby, over your shoulder. Now, women folks have a harder time with this. So sometimes the daddy can get involved. And, I say daddy. It does work really good if the one that shared the creation, but that may not always be necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. But you'll take a daddy and you'll lay the baby kind of over the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the diaphragm is at least up to the top of the shoulder, above the clavicle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will take and tap the baby from the middle of the, I guess it would be L1,
mm-hmm.
from there, and just sort of tap the baby up the spine,
mm-hmm.
up the spine, and if you'll do that 41 times,
mm-hmm.
the baby will go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You are overcompensating for the colic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now here's another thing that this is not giving medical advice.
Mm-hmm.
Because time and legalities do not allow us to be able to give medical advice. If you can find, sometimes it can work, and you have to get a really good old-timey physician that will allow you to engage in this.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll take a spoon of vinegar and a spoon of, and they say don't give babies honey. They know you're in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'll take a little of sourwood honey, mix that together, and take that and put it on a little cloth,
mm-hmm.
and clean, and if you can dab it on the baby's tongue,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that helps those bubbles not to come back on you.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're going against everything because they say don't give babies honey, blah, 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 but...
Well, what if you... Yeah, I've heard that because they say there can be bacteria in there. What if you, what if you put the honey in something and steam it or boil it just to kill whatever?
And it loses its effect.
I see, yeah. What about pasteurized honey?
It's no effect.
Yeah, it has to be the raw honey.
You've taken all the goodie out of it.
Got it. Okay, it has to be raw honey.
And that's why we say we can't say that's what to do, but that can have a pleasing effect. Babies get past it,
mm-hmm.
okay? And many mamas, you could write a book right there on mamas' different ways of tending to their baby.
True.
Of this is what works, and here's why that works. It's because of the mama's disconnection that requires much, much more attention to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And can affect the sex life of a family.
Oh, man, it can. Yeah.
See, that becomes another disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the surprise babies that weren't planned for.
Uh-huh.
If you show me the science, you'll find that those are the more colicky babies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the very, 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 very planned ones spend adequate time and attention and live their life vicariously in the bringing up and the sharing and the co-creation with their child and baby. Their baby doesn't seem to be troubled with sex.
Yeah. So the baby feels a lack of attention.
No, the baby never feels lack of attention.
Yeah, you said that. So
The mother feels that she must give more attention to her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when they feel that way, the baby, of course, just coming from source, picks up on it. And says, okay, I'll get your undivided attention,
mm-hmm.
because that's your wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, they'll punch you in the nose if you tell a mama that she's wanting her baby to have the cock and be miserable.
Yes, yeah.
But the other side of it is, that's how it works.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Okay, the baby.
So you better be genteel how you lay that one out, but that is the reality.
Got it. Okay, we are up to colitis.
Oh, joy. And now all the way down to your diverticulitis?
We'll get there. That's a few down, but we're just doing the colitis at this moment.
Okay. That is the process where you have a complete disconnection with what you think you should be eating and what you're eating. You love leafy things or different, sometimes the lactose have a great deal of colitis.
Yeah.
And if you crave that, okay, your body will tell you what you want to do, and if you're against it, that's how that shows up, and it'll get in the middle, and it'll just stop, and it'll sour, and it's got to come back up again, see? Because you don't allow it. Does that cover it, or do you want the dirty details?
I love dirty details.
Okay. Typically, folks that find this to be an issue are the ones that are not minerally balanced. So, they crave the very thing that causes that symptomatic issue because they're pushing against the relaxing, allowing, enjoying. Sometimes a pensive, a lot of people that have this have had a lot of trauma, but let's say they've had like a gunshot wound, and they've had lots of dopes working on inside of them, they end up having a great deal of that sometimes. Because their pathways have been redirected.
Yeah.
Healing and scar tissues sometimes become inflamed, and that inflammation comes all the way through. That you do know that's the appendix. That's the problem with the appendix is colitis.
No, tell me.
That's why it stops up.
Mm-hmm.
What stops up the appendix, which can make it open up, and then you go septic, and then you have another issue, same type of disconnection or filtering.
So what stops up the appendix, the inflammation, or
inflammation,
just the disconnect?
The disconnect, and then it won't filter, but then it stops up, and then it stops up, and then it can't flow. And that's your perfect definition of colitis.
Okay.
So sometimes, and then if you have your appendix removed and you still have that trouble, then the stopped up part or the colitis shows up in another place.
Yes, yes.
It almost always is before it gets to the large intestine. It's not what medical science normally says.
Yeah, because they think colitis is large intestine and Crohn's is more small intestine.
It's not. And if you balance the we don't know the word. It's mineral intake.
Yes.
That's not right, because some people need more minerals of some type and others need other kind of minerals of other
types. Right, yeah, no.
Some people crave different things for different reasons, so it's that balance.
Yeah,
Different parts of the world, you see. If you went to Taiwan and took their diet completely and didn't get into it slowly and as far as bringing those new things into your system, you would change values that you're accustomed to, and in a very short window of time, you would enjoy benefits of the colitis. It would be not bad, not wrong, not incorrect, but different what your normal metabolism has been based on, right, requiring.
Okay. Yes. Very good. Okay. Constipation is our next condition of merit here.
Okay, that's when you have, you're holding on, and you stop the production of water in the bowel. You are holding on. Sometimes it's caused from way young. You can't go to the bathroom here because you don't know if it's clean. Can't go to the bathroom there because it's not appropriate. You don't want to go to the bathroom on an airplane because it may be so odious that you don't want to cause cause discomfort to other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't, you see what I mean? You just keep going with that whole process to the mm-hmm. point where you restrict that ability and capacity. Some mm-hmm. people find that to be, now we'll do the simplest version of that. Some people can't go but accept at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason, and now that's the same way with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
A dog goes to the bathroom in a certain place, that activation comes into a place where they always go to the bathroom there.
Mm-hmm.
So if a dog has a specimen on your yard,
mm-hmm.
then that smell would be there, and anytime they're there, that's where they go back to.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with humans.
Mm-hmm.
Different people have different issues with it, but when they travel, if they don't get used to that process,
it's often said that when people travel, they get constipated. So that's very interesting.
And every aspect is change, and you have so many variables, you can't say this or say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go all the way into the difference between laxatives and stool softeners.
Mm-hmm.
Stool softeners are folks that are eating, and their diet isn't rich enough in the process to generate enough fibrous bile
mm-hmm.
to have a continuum flow.
Mm-hmm.
Others come back to the other side of a stool softener just to allow breakdown of those solids that are collected. Because, see, they all think about it as stopped up, and it's not stopped up. It's just the way your body collects stool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You'll flip that all the way into. Some people have the dysentery just all the time. They just mm-hmm. have loose bowels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Some people come to that different place because your body naturally works itself out every time.
Mm-hmm.
But in you travel to foreign countries and you're in a new situation, eating new food, and you're just constipating, haven't been to the bathroom in 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and you go to the doctor there and they see you as a foreigner. They say, I need something to help me go to the bathroom because I haven't been in 3 days and I'm very uncomfortable. I'm distended. I'm in a mess that I don't know what to do. I'm cramping. I'm not doing good.
Mm-hmm.
A good doctor will say, eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go. No. If you'll eat, you'll go.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go. You can increase that pressure to mm-hmm. the point where your body will naturally correct itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Katie, bar the door, because when you go, it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's better than taking away your body's natural ability by adding the Miralax or some of those other pretty potent
mm-hmm.
Laxatives that just flush the bowel with water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very good. Okay.
Because if that's what it takes to go, next thing you know, you're taking citrus and magnesium mm-hmm. just for normal functioning, and you do that long, your body stops doing the normal thing because it's going to have a stimulant to do it for you.
Correct. Now, did we say the emotional disconnect with constipation?
It is the holding back, the holding to.
Uh-huh.
The holding, the resistance of the natural flow.
Yeah.
Sometimes with older people, you have that same process just because they don't want to be bothered with the going.
Uh-huh.
I mean, literally, you know, they're not able to run like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than run, they just learn how to not go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a huge degree of placement, not cortisol. I'm not talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, you can have 15 or 20 pounds of body weight in your body that's just not been eliminated, that you don't allow to eliminate.
Yeah.
Well, you do that long, then you start clogging up your pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can sort of live your life and carry along and go right ahead, and you can go to the bathroom, and you're not having good elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a little bitty fella who's not eating anything. You can have a stool that is just humongous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, and you're kind of like, well, wait a second, my 5-year-old's pooping more than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you increase that that ability to hold that pressure, not go, it'll still just, and that's when you sort of, as you age, sometimes that, what you call a middle age spread, not necessarily body fat, that's sometimes just your large intestine being able to withstand more pressure.
No.
The negative compensation for increased pressure. Negative compensation for increased pressure.
Right. Okay, holding back the resistance of the natural flow. Okay. Very good. And we're up to dandruff.
Okay. The dermis of the skin, of the scalp, sometimes has an irritation. That irritation is due or caused from a type or degree of what you call eczema. And that's where all the dust in your house actually comes from. It's from your sloughing off of skin cells. Well, in the hair, in that hair, you actually, if you have dandruff, you have that in other parts of your body as well. But you can compensate for it, but the folia of the hair follicle, the skin around that, same way if you have like sometimes, not, maybe not a sebaceous cyst, but like a little bump or a scab or something. And then as that's healing, that scab will slough off.
Yes.
It's at a larger scale because as you're using whatever product that you deem appropriate or that you see swearing black, because it just shows up that way. If you could take a egg or sometimes mayonnaise.
Yeah.
It's very egg-based and oil-based. And you can apply that. It has a very easy, the albumin in the egg, egg white, is a very easy way for it to naturally balance the collagen in the shaft around the skin that makes that dermis release itself. So basically you smear that mess all over your head, tie it up in a sack, plastic, let it kind of go through a sweat because it heats. Now, I can't imagine you coming to a place where you feel that you'd want to rinse mayonnaise, nasty mayonnaise out of your hair, but it will compensate for that process. We don't see dandruff as a bad thing. Oh, it doesn't need healing. It doesn't need correcting. But that's a way to allow the skin with the albumin level to be able to slough off that skin at a larger schedule. So if you really get down to it, everybody has dandruff. Some people create more skin that slough that off than others. Mediterraneans have very little dandruff. And the reason is because they have a much larger intake of olive oil.
Yeah. They probably even use the olive oil in their hair.
Absolutely. Absolutely do.
Okay, and then...
So therefore there is no disconnection.
Yeah.
With dandruff.
Right. It's like a faster turnover of the shells of the dermis.
Yes. Correct.
And, I mean, you mentioned the albumin. What causes the faster turnover?
Wait. The albumin in the egg white... has a soothing, it's almost like a degree or type of collagen that, like in mayonnaise, is a good conditioner because it has a lot of egg in it.
Right.
The egg white itself, the albumin in that natural embryo can allow the shaft around the hair to not be so flaked.
But what's causing the flakiness to be sped up, the turnover? of the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's right. That doesn't have anything to do with the albumin, the egg. That's just a solution, you see.
Yeah.
But what causes it is just the sometimes it's worry over losing your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the folks that have it. They're the ones that buy all the motions, lotions, and potions to try to keep it silky smooth and mm-hmm. full and mm-hmm. on and on and on and on. Others find it if they have that disconnection of the sloughing off.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, they're not pack rats.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like going, what in the world is that all about?
Right.
But different people's nature.
Yeah.
You would be more subject to a dandruff yourself personally rather than someone who saved their pie pans and their aluminum foil and every newspaper they've ever read.
Yeah.
And collect.
Mm-hmm.
They can't lose anything. They have to have everything. We have to save this. We have to save this. Those are the ones that would not be as apt to be the schlepper off.
Got it. Yeah.
Those that look at it go, they open a drawer where everything is neat and tidy and laid out, and they go like, wait a second, let me pick up something. They go, you know, I haven't used this in 6 months, so I'm going to throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of it. Well, those are the ones that are going to be more prone or have a much more accepting position of
Okay, great. Okay, well, I'd like you to help me go over depression, and then I think we'll be good for this session.
Hey, depression, you got to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
What is pression?
Pressure.
Okay. And if you're depressed, it's letting steam off.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you depress it all the way, then you can sometimes lose all of your pressure. It equalizes.
Yeah, you lose all your steam. You lose it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And the losing all the steam, sometimes you have a little valve that controls that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The valve gets stuck open, your body, the serotonin in your body, it's all depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And that serotonin then has a causal effect on your sleep patterns, your wake patterns, your the way you feel or think about everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disconnection of my veracity for living.
Mm-hmm.
Because for whatever reason, it's brought on by sometimes it's chemical imbalances. Anytime people that have severe traumas coming off of the tail end of, what do you call it, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
They have been so super exposed.
Mm-hmm.
The same way if you have a burn,
mm-hmm.
have degrees of burn,
mm-hmm.
so it's depression.
Mm-hmm.
That healing, you see, sometimes you've got to heal from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it just scales over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get too crusty or scaly and don't have sense enough to catch the dandruff,
mm-hmm.
Slough that all off. Now, that's a little tongue-in-cheek. But
mm-hmm.
That comes on the inside, and it can have a very, very great disconnection from the soulish man, the part of the man that wants to live long, thrive, and prosper.
Mm-hmm.
It makes that individual question their worthiness.
Mm-hmm.
It affects their self-confidence. Mm-hmm. It causes a disconnection or caring about everything or anything that is important in their reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait now. That goes against our best words. That everything is supposed to be relax and allow, remember.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly happy where I am and ready for more.
Uh-huh.
Well, depression becomes one of those lower emotions
mm-hmm.
in the layers, and that you're going to talk about that next in your tablet world, because this tablet is very significant
mm-hmm.
of your different degrees. Depression would fall also into a broader category as a degree of separation.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably fall between the fourth and the fifth.
Okay.
Degree of separation. Pretty major topic, and that's why they'll give you drugs. It's supposedly a boost your capacity to balance synaptic nerve energy that tricks you into feeling better or having less malaise regarding your experience. That was a, boy, the birds like that one. We're going really broad because now there's degree. You can have bipolar.
Yeah.
You can have all kinds of dynamics of that process, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's an easy way to cover most all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes, now let's go back to what the physical is. I've done things that I didn't think were right. I've broken my rules. So therefore, I do not deserve the joy that is called living. Therefore, I pushed against my parents. I didn't do what they thought I thought I should do. Didn't do what I thought I should do. They've come to an untimely demise, and I feel guilty or have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was taken advantage of because I allowed it, and I'm not worthy to continue on this path because of my disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, a good case of depression, depression opens the valve up so there's never ever a time again where pressure builds up that I have to deal with this part again. Depression, classic depression, pushes against everyone and everything that you've ever known or come to love and appreciate. If you love your house, you'll get to where you can't go in it.
Yes.
If you love your wife, you'll get to where you can't stand to look at her.
Mm-hmm.
If you love your family, you'll get to the point you can't stand them in your presence.
Mm-hmm.
If you love to sleep and rest and enjoy that whole process, you won't be able to sleep day or night.
Yes.
If you love being active and very gregariously active in your world, in your life, you won't be able to even take a step. You'll be confined to your bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the flip side alternative of the perfect way. The same way with sex being God's perfect idea and pornography being the aberrated version or the abominable version of that process, then same way is depression. A sex addict that got depression wouldn't even be able to achieve an erection. Boy, how did you get there from here?
No, no, that one, but that's fine with me. It's very interesting.
But you see what I mean?
Yeah.
A wife who loves her husband more than anything can catch depression, develop depression, and they can't stand the thought. The actual process of lovemaking is so painful that it's more than they can bear.
Okay.
And that's up a whole different process of other fears. All kinds of fear-based repression. I think a better word for depression would be repression. Because they're always in a state of a repressed lack of attention. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's very nice. Yeah, because there's...
So how do you overcome it?
Yes.
Here's how you overcome it. If you can find your place, if you can't deal with whatever is, you have a couple of choices. You can push against it, fight your way back. Okay, that's the road. That's the road more often traveled, but not necessarily the best process.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to do it is to stop thought. Meaning, hypnotism works pretty good if you're open to that process. Or meditation, and see, that's such a glib word. We don't even mean that, but that's what more people will plug in and understand. Where you're having your worst problematic symptoms. Now, this is not like anxiety attacks that can be on early onset depression. This is when you're really in the blues and you can't get out of it. You can't get off the sofa, and everything hurts. and you can't eat, you're starving to death, and when you eat, it makes you sick. Or you want to eat all the time, and you can't. Or you never want to eat, and you're eating all the time. Never hungry, but you're compensating for that. Sometimes it's a chemical imbalance, but you cause that imbalance. You said it's like a tolerance. Same way, alcohol. Some people have a small tolerance to alcohol. They can have a glass of wine and knock them on their head. But then some people can drink a gallon of bourbon a day and don't even get a buzz.
Right, Cam. So we're talking about overcoming it, and we're talking about, I think we're getting into more causes here, or were you coming back to that?
Yes, we were. The process of meditation, clearing the mind, having no thought, better than having a repressed thought.
Okay.
And then your body has a chance to correct its own imbalance. The exact same way that cortisone, which is a pretty nasty drug, the cortisone tricks your body into thinking that it's well, so that sometimes you can exercise it so it can be well. But we all know that's a pretty nasty drug, but that's what it's supposed to do, and that's what it does.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So nasty as it is, if it's effective, it is what it is. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with different balancing drugs. Sometimes it's simple, though, is changing teas.
Changing what? Sorry?
T-E-A? Yes.
Tell me.
Loose leaf tea. If you're having this issue, tea, the tannins that are in the tea leaves. Are the absolute answer. That's what most of the compounding of the synthetic antidepressant drugs are from.
Wow.
And some barks, just as sassafras, it will activate and really move the bowel. Okay. Different jasmines, different oolongs, different white tea, different English breakfast.
I mean, let me get back to the tannins and the tea. What a pharmacist doctor friend of mine says is it's the tannins have an antifungal effect, so he thinks that tannins work on the fact that maybe some people have depression and a chemical imbalance from yeast toxins affecting things like serotonin. Is that a factor?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, you could extrapolate that to why does chicken soup make you feel better?
Right.
You have a cold. Then a good Jewish mother would say, I don't know if it heals the cold or not, but it couldn't hurt.
Right. Yeah.
So if that's your hypothesis, or show me the science, it couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
But what we were saying about the tannins of the different teas in England, where it has a huge rain, a lot of rainy days. That's where they've actually developed their English breakfast tea. That's very, very stout and very strong. It kind of takes away the malaise of a very, very, very rainy day. Sometimes that's activated with caffeine. Sometimes that's activated with alcohol. Sometimes that's activated with sugars, white sugars. And have a yeast workability out of it, but that's more because of the moist world that you're growing in India, post-creating space for those things. More than it is, you need to overcome it with something.
Right.
That's why they come up with all the stuff that causes cancer. But what they don't come up with is what prevents it. See? Don't eat that causes cancer. Well, no, eat this because it's an antioxidant. But they don't say that cures cancer.
Right. No, they would never want to say that.
But that point of the changing tea can have a very viable, successful capacity for rebalancing a repression that you sometimes call depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean like a pot or two a day.
Great.
But that would be 3 to 6 cups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whole leaf tea.
Uh huh.
Not in a bag.
Very nice.
Okay. You adjust and change, and then you'll find if you're depressed, whatever tea is too strong, the lighter the tea you go to, three of tea, the more effective it'll be.
Yeah, I think it might be. I'm moving. I was just getting up to go get Bob, and it started to.
Oh, good. Because we were thinking, well, we've changed about all the phones we can change. We don't know what to do next.
Yeah, and now, you know, I've stabilized the little cord, and I'm walking downstairs, and it's not growling at me, so it should be okay.
Oh, good. Okay, but we always check just to make sure in case we need a refreshment to for JW to reset everything.
Yeah. Okay, Bob, are you ready? Okay, we're done. Our medical will all set up for Emerald tablets.
What a delightful interaction. This flowing is very easy, very precise, very light, and you'll never know the degree or the number of people that are going to be helped this particular aspect of your life's work.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you wanted to do when you were wanting to be a doctor the first time.
Exactly. It's just beautiful. And I really appreciate the way Ion is allowing me to have the answers with just the general question, you know, of what are these conditions, and then we just do it. It's fabulous.
Isn't it amazing that you haven't still non-physical yet?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's true, and it's, for me, there's so much that's new to me, and, you know, parts of me say, oh my gosh, that can't be possible, but I'm, you know, very much kind of suspending my judgment on it, and it's all going to flow. So what...
when you go to the witch doctor and let him tell you what to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, so much of medicine is very much about practicing on an unsuspecting public, and most of what we do, next week we find out, oh, well, if you did the opposite, you'd get an even better result. So it's much better to give people an understanding of the relax and allow principle, that they may be involved in a bit of a disconnect, and, you know, don't go running around just to get a whole bunch of drugs thinking that you're going to change something.
Well, but it will. It can.
Well, thinking...
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, no, and... No. I'm going to make a note back under medicine. I think what I'd like to start out with next time is I'll make a note of the placebo, the whole placebo-nocebo business, and how that relates to relaxing and allowing, and I think that would, you know, that being an incredible topic.
The same thing is true with the power that was imbued in your emerald tablets.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Same thing is true with the power you imbued in your Ark of the Covenant.
Uh-huh.
You used it to win wars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same. You're the marvelous creator that brings this all back into a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that balance, see, that balance is different from everybody. So if you got away from trying to balance everybody by this one linking looped thing and brought them into the place where they could balance their own world and reality, Mm-hmm. You go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, when I move my arm like this, it hurts." And your doctor says, "Well, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It won't hurt, and then there's no disease."
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, but I want to move my arm that way." "Well, why?" "Well, I don't know. I just want to." "Okay, then stretch through it."
Mm-hmm.
That's your choice, you see. Because who created the disconnect to start with?
Mm-hmm.
You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The name of this work would be The Perfectly Balanced Mind.
Okay.
Short and sweet.
Balanced mind.
Perfectly balanced mind.
Huh. What would be the subtitle so that people would know it's not just it's not a psychiatric text?
The art of physical atonement.
Atonement.
You won with yourself.
That's beautiful.
Then there's balance, then there's no cancer, then there's no leukemia, then there's no AIDS, then there's no herpes, then there's no joint pain, then there's no aging, then there's no...
Mm-hmm.
You may have had to oil of lay people because they've been banking on you wrinkling up.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I muted my sneeze, but I think the speaker still picked it up.
It's all right. Gebrunt.
It what? Sorry?
Gebrunt.
Oh, I see. Gesundheit in some foreign language. Very good.
German.
Well, why not Gesundheit?
It is, but Gebrunt's more appropriate for a muffled sneeze.
Oh, funny. Funny. Okay, I'm still waiting on Bob. He usually at the last minute of whatever goes and eats, so I don't know.
Goes to the bathroom.
Have you picked up Bob?
He's still muted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but we've got a title here, The Perfectly Balanced Mind, or A Perfectly Balanced Mind, The Art of Physical Atonement.
And when you get there, guess what? That takes care of the spiritual aspects. That takes care of the symbiote host aspect. That gets you back into the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, see, out of balance in any format will catch you in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty smooth.
Oh, it's very good. Very good. Yeah, and I was thinking I'm just doing these notes in order to compile something for a book, but it's flowing so easily that, what have we got right now? Let me just check the page count. Yeah, we got 28 pages.
And you literally could do it from the topic, so they could look up their lack of ease.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I envision. I think...
A PDR, or it'd be an NPDR.
Natural, yeah.
No, non-physical.
That's very good. Mm-hmm. NPDR, non-physical desk reference.
Non-physical physician's desk reference, so NPPDR.
No, a non-physical desk reference. Well, I see what you mean. But the, doctors, I hope they would pick up a book like this, but, you know, it's
more... Well, of course they would. Of course they would, because that are the old... What you're going to find is a change in the way medicine is, dear.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find that it's going to be different. People are going to get to the point where they don't go to the hospital anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not necessary, because if you're not sick when you go to the hospital, you will be time you leave.
Oh, yeah. And the way...
Why does that? Why is it that you never need rehab before you go to the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Who gets rehab before they go to the hospital?
Well, I've heard in lots of cases where people have to build up their immune system and resistance so they can deal with a hospitalization.
Indeed.
So our young man is available, and he's bringing his chair over.
What did you do, a bunch of diseases?
We did a bunch of diseases. We got a new name for the book, and the book is going to be called A Perfectly Balanced Mind, The Art of Physical At-One-Mind.
Physical At-One-Mind. Well, what about those mentally differently challenged?
Well, they'll get it in the perfectly balanced mind.
Yeah, but that's fodder for the mental psychiatric association to go around saying there is a standard of mental health.
No, they're not. No.
Okay.
It's all done. Okay.
Well, if there's a standard for mental health, then why can't they cure them?
Okay. All right. So did you do any other areas, Carolyn? Did I miss?
No. We've been waiting patiently for you to do emerald tablets.
Okay.